Day, Sunday, May 8th, 1994. Greetings, Commander.
Well, you're going to have to wait for a minute. It's like having to turn off the laughter. Good afternoon, Commander. I come in light on a blessed day, and I have to apologize a little bit to some of you who've had to make other arrangements to be here. I'm honored that you would make those arrangements so that you could share with this family. I have a need within myself to talk on some of the things of which I'm so questioned these days. You feel that you have lost a friend. Lydia's children feel they have lost a parent. You've lost nothing. And if you look within, you'll find part of your grieving is a little bit of jealousy that ones who know what they're about and their direction of travel get there before you. And you may be a little angry at them for, quote, copping out on you. You know, if you've got to stick around, so could they. You don't know the contract of another. And you don't see the joy in Lydia's soul and heart that you would be here. The ones of you who could be here. I have to say that as I had asked Norma to gather up some things to bring here, that I specifically ask that we get a cake that said happy birthday. It wasn't just that, you know, that was all the cake there was. And she said, well, couldn't we do something else, like maybe congratulations or something? But I said, no. This is the first birthday in a long, long stream of lifetimes that has meaning. True meaning for Lydia. She asked to come home. She asked to make that transition. I had hoped that she would want to stick around long enough to see some of the rewards as the reapers would come and the harvest would begin. But she was miserable. She was sick. And in your plane, when you're waiting to make that journey, and you hurt, and you know that it will never be better, it will only be worse. Nothing on your plane has meaning anymore. And ones try very, very diligently as they make these transitions. Mothers especially concerned about their children. Will you understand? Will you come into light? Will you do without me? And most children up until this moment never really thought they couldn't do it fine without mom. I didn't even care about some of the things she was interested in, you know, a little bit Looney Tunes. But reality of existence happens when there is a departure made. And it can be utilized for the beauty and the glory that it is, or it can be a grieving process that turns you farther away. In this instance, there is none of that. But it's a good opportunity for me to be able to speak about it. All of you wonder about that day of transition. And that is the history of one searching and searching and searching. And it's the story of life journey in that searching. All ones are terrified of the transition because the big black monsters have come and thrust their stories upon you. And in a minute, you're going to see how bad that can actually be. But today, we honor Lydia. And I wanted a party for Lydia. Granted, we should have those parties while ones are walking around here in the physical. But don't think that Lydia didn't enjoy this one more. You have misperceptions about what happens. Large misperceptions. There will be quite a transitional period, not as much for Lydia or for instance, any ones of you, as there will, for instance, for Bill, our aviary friend who also made a passage this week. And in both instances, I'm going to go on the record as saying medical science did them in. Lydia could not look forward any longer to a pain-free environment. And the pain becomes so debilitating that you don't even know if you hurt anymore. You're just too sick to live. In Bill's instance, he was given chemotherapy. He was failing badly. And they managed to put him in a situation where he picked up a staphylococcus infection. And that's it. There is no immune system to fight it. I appreciate Rod filling in for Dorma and EJ. These are the friends in Bakersfield that all of you volunteered to go help when he first became very ill. They have an aviary, and it is a massive responsibility to tend all of that flock of birds. And I know that Chris would be very pleased if any one of you would just stop in and say hello as you pass through Bakersfield from time to time. In fact, one of the birds that Al had brought a picture of this day from the paper, people smuggling out these very exotic birds' eggs, is a picture of Rosie. Rosie is a rosy-breasted cockatoo. And I won't go into the story. It would not be suitable that I do so. But Rosie came to live adoptively. I guess we would call it foster home care with Dorma and EJ. And she is an elegant bird who has her friends and bites all others. That means that there are two who get away. But she has her own personality, and she's absolutely spectacularly gorgeous. And what happens is thieves rob their nests, ship off the eggs, ship off the babies. So many of them are killed. But I want to go on record. Rosie was born of domestic parents in Oregon. What happens when you make transition? I appreciate the inquiries because one day in the speaking I said, try to not have a funeral. Allow the body to rest for at least 3 days. Now, why would that be? No matter what you do with that body, why would that be? Most people have lived in such a state of confusion and searching and been misinformed, lied to, and suddenly life in the physical form is taken. That does not mean that life in the spiritual soul form is severed yet. Depending on the circumstances involved. Sometimes, if that being knows where its journey is headed, it will sever immediately. But no one on your place knows that. So regardless of what we're going to say here, Lydia does not fit in any category that I'm going to talk about here. Lydia knew. Lydia asked permission. Please, she asked for release from all of you. She basically did it publicly of all of you, and then with her children. Because there is, under these kinds of circumstances, a period of time where there are choices being made. If you really insist, I will stick around. But if I have your permission, I would like to go. It isn't worth it here. Always within the hope being that ones will make that release. One of the greatest disservices anyone, a husband, a wife, a child, a mother, a father, is to not release that being. And some, after that body is lying there, in the grave actually, gone, will not release that soul. And will hold that soul in your grip, sometimes causing it to be earthbound, because it will not just go. There was a reason that so much to do was made over 3 days of the Christ. It does not matter, friends, whether or not there was any, quote, reality in this circumstance or not. Let us look at the circumstance. The 3 days have great meaning. And when I spoke before on the 3 days, it is because as the soul takes leave of that body, it studies for quite a while what it's going to do. And it's quite disoriented. And it will cling to the presence of that body for approximately 3 days. And if it did not know where it was headed, to have its guides take it and bring it into the security of its next environment is lost. And quite frankly, as with Lydia, she doesn't want to miss the party today. This is the first one she's really enjoyed. She wasn't on the spot. She didn't have to be embarrassed. And she can smile about it. She was quiet and unpretentious. She would not like a fuss made of her. Else we'd be doing this in a cathedral. You know, she wanted it silently taken care of. So I'm going to use the opportunity to both honor her and inform you. I'm not going to go into the merits versus the demerits of cremation. A lot of that is strictly up to the ones experiencing, because you won't come back to use this body, of course, once it's cremated, you won't. And if the body had deteriorated in such a way, you would not want it, if you could, revive it. And always the soul will find its own creation in newness, having planned its own experience. before it would re-enter. It's a blessing when one knows where one is going. It is a hard, heartbreaking disaster if one did not know, is severed from that life force called body, physical, consciousness, and too quickly that body is disposed of because the soul is in limbo for a little while. Now, why would you have some of the Middle Eastern religions that do not worship God and the Christed way of creation? They want that instability of that soul. This is where they capture the most souls in the universe. Get them severed from the body, get rid of that body in 3 days. I mean, in less than 3 days. Some of them are 24 hours. Past that is bad news. You have now severed all possibility of restructuring between this consciousness and this higher consciousness. The physical plane is the manifested plane where soul learns. It doesn't seem that would be such a hot deal. You know, but already you say, you know, that when we get to the higher planes, we're going to know and we're going to do this and we're going to be good. And how do you know what is good if you have not also experienced that which is perceived bad? You have nothing against which to relatively make choices and decisions and earn your graduation. So you can live in the state of goodness once you get there. But there is always a lacking of soul until it becomes one with Creator. It will always be searching for those lessons, for that learning, for that knowing. And there is service to be performed on the next higher level from wherever you are. Some have come back and will make giant strides back to much higher placement. Most of you have come back for a specific transition of this planet at this time. So when you make your transition, you probably will go leaps and bounds beyond that next closest, what you would call dimension. But in that next dimension, you become the guides for the earthbound dimension. You become the teachers and the guides. You are never finished with service. Never. You can finally achieve the epitome of being one with God, and then what happens? You are nothing but service. That's all you are. Energy in service. Thinking energy, bringing little fragments of soul essence into knowledge worthy of oneness again with God. And the longer you can keep that soul out here in limbo land, the longer the Antichrist is happy over it, because it is hard to find its way back into security, because it has no way to participate longer in those old lessons. It doesn't even know that it flunked or succeeded in some instances within those early days. And if you get earthbound, trying to experience within this that you can witness on this other side, but you in the physical form cannot see. It doesn't very frequently know it is dead. There needs to be a severance. And for goodness sakes, there needs to be, on your part, a release. Allowing that being to go on with its expression. It will eventually do that anyway, because there are always the higher guides. Don't leave out your guides. I don't care if you don't know their names. I don't care if you call them guardians, angels. I don't care what you call them. There are the positive guides whose sole purpose is to help you through your journey. And you must grow so that you may assume that capacity of tutelage. When you have served a long time on earth, and especially as we come up against these dreaded times, your world could go either of two ways. You're on the brink with some capability within the grasp of your mind for turning this thing about in revolution. Revolution meaning simply to turn about. Methods have been established where, if handled properly, you can do it. Will you do it? Who knows? That's up to you. And I hear a lot of things coming back to me, you know, well, if I just had, I could. No, it's not that way. If you just created what you need, you will. So don't be telling God what you need from Him to make your way. All is provided for you. You have to use it. You have to accept it. And as we move on through these times, many will be making transition because their service is greater now in a different capacity. And I would suggest that all of you not try to figure it out for somebody else. You have all you can possibly handle with yourself. And even with yourself, you have to release it and let it go and forgive yourself for whatever indiscretions you think you have voiced it off, especially on somebody else. If you didn't say, I love you, Mom, and it's too late, quit kicking yourself. It's over. Forgive yourself and go on. That's what a mother would like her children to do. And always human is too late smart. That's what the lesson is. That is the lesson. But this is what the 3-day period is about. That still connection of soul to body, and that period of transition, of pulling away, coming into recognition of the passage, and formulating direction with guides, and then a release. And it's good to hold that in your thoughts, because there have been ones, and Baba has done it, and some ones have been close enough to the ones that experienced this in their viewing to know that it was so, right from the morgue in the hospital, went in and got his friend up. And there is this period of 3 days in which this is a good possibility. In fact, most of you have no idea how many people are buried who are still living. And it is very, very wise of all of you to insist there be no embalming and a waiting period where the body is checked periodically. This is absolutely one of the cruelest things that happens in your hospitals today, and you have living people to tell about it. That literally they've gone to do an autopsy, or they've gone to check the body, and it sits up. There is a period of time when the heart stops beating, that the brain is not dead, and the body cannot answer, and it doesn't have enough vital signs to register. And oops, dead, gone. And that's the end of it, because by the time it's been on ice for a while, it's not too good. So my recommendation is that you always give a body enough time to discern whether or not it is in a state of comatose stasis or literally has made a transition. I'll try not to just linger here into the night, as I have a tendency to do. Again, thank you for coming here, because it is a special day, and it's a joyous time to wish our loved ones and our friends a best wishes voyage. And very frequently you'll find them on the other side saying, "Nanny, nanny, nanny." EJ, I think maybe the best thing to do would be to read the writing. I would ask Rick if we have any update.
Nothing new.
All right. We have quite a battle going on. I'm going to do the same thing with MJ-12, Rick, that I did with Ronald Reagan. They're going to have to deal with me.
You'd like me to read today's writing?
Please.
Sunday, May 8, 1994. Introduction. By the way, does anyone here know the number of this journal?
94
is the one that we're going to be starting on this week.
This week, 94.
94. Thank you.
I want to say one more thing. I'm not interested in the number of the journal, but you're going to notice more and more flying saucer stuff coming into your attention. There's a lot of flack going on. I want you to pay particular attention to some of the more recent things. I'm not interested in 1947 and crash at Aztec. That's old. That's important, because that was the first one that was literally impossible to completely cover up. But you're dealing with aliens from a lot of different places. Now, one of the reasons that Ron Jackson he tests me all the time. But a good intelligence officer should test another one. And it's testing the metal of my scribe, too. Because I give her the right kind of information in such a way that she doesn't have the vaguest idea what I'm talking about, but it's right out of no man's land to her brain. But we're right on. They're going to be coming into your attention quite a lot of places that are very important. And I'm not going to divulge them as far as making it a critically dangerous thing for you to know. And ones have to understand that I will not speak on things that are totally critical because I do not want them in the conscious knowing of my scribe. This is the way you stay safe. And while we are needing a focus and a speaker from a given focus, and others are waking up and making their connections, they have to have a little confirmation. And some of these confirmations are very good for you because you've worked a long time here in the knowing who you're working with, but with less realization that somebody like Ron Jackson has. And as we go along here, I'm going to have to talk about some of the things that you question from time to time. Zita may or may not remember her first meeting with me in this town years ago. And I said, Zita, where did you get your name? And we talk about it a little bit, and I said, no. It will mean something greatly important to you someday that you would bear that name. Well, you know, Mom gives it to me, Dad gives it to me, I choose it. Once if you go and you choose up a name or somebody gives you a name and then you go bless yourself with that name. A name is not important other than as to what it might mean to you. But Zeta 1, Zeta, I call it, Zeta 1 and Zeta 2 are in the constellation of Reticulum. These would be what you would consider your typical little gray as far as stature and appearance. They are much shorter than the average human. And they are larger visual features, but not at all robotoid in expression. So what are you seeing? What are you getting these pictures of? What are the little grays? Most of them are clones. Most of them on the ship sent are clones. Reticulum, I won't go into the reasons, but anytime there is an evolution of a planet that is up for possible total destruction, there are all the brotherhoods of space that can have the technology to make journeys across space and time, or are within distance, where you can literally physically make that transition without much time and space warp. Well, this gets into the deepest subject that we could come up with this morning, past death and transition. And what Lydia has just done is not very different from what they did at the Philadelphia experiment on Montauk. Made a transition of spirit. Well, in some of these instances, spirits lost out there. Not, again, too unlike the 3 days. And some of the soul spirit entities from the Eldridge are still floating around trying to find their place because they were misplaced in a time-space continuum warp where they can't get back. And to prove that you can cross DNA structure anything is what happened when the USS Eldridge reappeared and bodies were embedded, literally had become a part of the bulkhead of the ship. Or an arm would be embodied in a piece of metal. You can cross anything from that dispersion into the realignment. And man is foolish. So you're going to have to understand that those experiments done on Montauk, Long Island, were extremely critical experiments of pulse, frequency waves, and lack of control. But that's not the only reason that the area is important. Once your military people got into the act, you would always have a cover-up situation. There has always been, from your elite adversarial forces, blackmail. And if, in fact, a craft could be recovered, there would always be the effort to reverse the technology. Everything you see is going to be reversed. And trying to break down how this ship worked. But don't stop when you get to Montauk. There were already craft down and available to the Germans. And it was through that technology and those underground bases in Germany, these were not the Germans who were attached to the Khazarian element that was involved in the war. Although that Khazarian element did take control, and a lot of those incredible scientists were moved over to your nation, von Braun, for instance. Ed would know a lot more. And they hold this kind of technology in their minds, having worked in those underground facilities. You've got to understand the timelessness, weightlessness, spacelessness to have a functioning craft. It isn't enough just to have a stealth. That's BS. But you have achieved a sheathing that will basically create that particular element. So what were the little reticulum doing here? They were a part of the Federation Coalition for Research. It appeared then, it still appears, that Earthman may pulverize his planet. In that type of prana frequency, which is cosmic life energy, that which makes up you, can be so damaged in that type of explosion or disintegration as to kill soul. And that's unacceptable. It was bad enough, you know, when you started creating life forms. But when you could create death, it's unacceptable. So a lot of the experiments were predetermined with you. Never, never, never will any lighted form or energy impose itself through force upon anyone. And never, 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 never would anyone be abducted against his will and these ridiculous experiments performed on that body. If you can get to Earth, you don't need to study the egg system of a female human. And I remind you of Crash at Aztec. You will find that they will tell you the entire insides of the craft were completely burned, incinerated. Yes, you did it. They will also come back and tell you there were preserved parts of human beings, and invariably they will be penises, tongues, anything to terrify you. Now I want to ask you, if you have the inside of a craft so incinerated that you could not tell anything from anything, I want to know how those jars with those things were there. But I will tell you this. When they got there, they incinerated the inside of that craft, and there were living beings. And there will be rewards for that. These little beings were more of a photosynthesis type of creature. Called on by your people, you know, you say, God, send us help, God, please send us help. And those petitions were picked up by these people and came in peace to your place just to be incinerated. Because guess what you were doing? You were destroying your planet. And it looked like you were going to absolutely burn up your planet. And how were you going to assimilate food that wasn't there? What were you going to do? You were moving into a highly radioactive, high frequency light beams all around you, ultraviolet, beyond that which you can almost, beyond that which you can measure. And already your species are showing the signs. The most common symptom, the most common form of cancer anymore is skin cancer. These rays will mutate the cell structure because the frequency of human cell structure cannot handle it. You steal everything you can. Well, they can't steal from me. They have abused, misused, and something else that really, really ticks me off. You pick a place, be it Pleiades, be it Earth orbiting system. Oh, well, they're reptilians. They come from Orion. They're warriors. They come from Mars or Orion. BS. If they're smart enough to get here, number one, they're smarter than you. And number two, they don't come here to war. You've messed it up too much. Are there reptilian forms? Well, there certainly are now. But they're greatly compromised. And any of what you would call a reptilian form of humanoid is always going to be a crossbreed that you have done mechanically. Because no, snakes do not come from outer space. The serpent is the adversarial symbol of his existence. And in any physical field of experience, you will always find the adversarial symbol to be the serpent. From the snake in the apple tree to the seven snake symbol of Lemuria. And here's where you have to be very careful. Just because this shows up in the ancient documents does not mean it was God.